Revelation chapter 1. I thank y'all for coming. I need two ushers, okay? We're low on ushers tonight, ain't we? Two ushers. Those handouts over there, Jason, that are where I sat, can y'all give those out to the people? And again, I thank you. Seems like in these last days when you say you're going to preach on prophecy or how to study the Bible, the crowd just scatters, right? And but we appreciate your faithfulness tonight. Won't keep you long. And this is an outline of what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Like I said, I've preached through Revelation four times and Daniel two times. And that deals with a lot of prophecy. I thank y'all ushers for doing that, and go to Revelation chapter 1, if you will. We're going to give a jet tour through Revelation. John corrected my notes back there for the live stream. I put jet tour trough Revelation, but we're not going to feed on it, okay? John, you need more? John, he needs some more. Jason? Okay, I didn't run off my copies. Well, Jason said somebody back there needs it. Okay, how many? Jason? Three or four. Okay. So, here we go. Okay. I told you, I'll jet tour through Revelation, but I'm not going to fly. Okay? Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, very quickly. This is the outline of the book right here. By the way, the book of Acts also does that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things that I have seen, that's Revelation 1. The things that which are, that's Revelation 2 and 3, the church age. And then the things which shall be hereafter, it's Revelation 4 through 22. Now let's go quickly. Revelation chapter 1 deals with the vision of the glorified Christ. Jesus as we'll see him when we get to heaven. Before that, you have a prelude and a greeting, a little bit about background and being on Patmos and things like that. But chapter 1 deals with the vision of the resurrected Christ. Secondly, the things which are. That deals with Revelation 2 and 3. That's the church age. Go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. And it begins here with seven churches. They were historical churches, actual churches on the mail route there in Asia Minor. They also reflect of contemporary churches. There are churches today that have one of the major characteristics of these churches. Those that left their first love. Those that are dying, Sardis. Those that have turned over like in Thyatira to false doctrine and things like that. So every church you can name will probably end up here in one of these characteristics of these seven churches. And then I also, along with other people, believe that also these seven churches are prophetic. They begin with the post-apostolic church of Ephesus and go all the way to Laodicea. Seven churches. Right after the apostles, there was the church at Ephesus that had left their first love. And I believe that, along with a lot of people, that the rapture church is the faithful church of Philadelphia. And then the church left behind, it's really not a church at all. The church at Laodicea, where Jesus is knocking on the door trying to get in, is the contemporary liberal church of the day. And so we see that there, historical, contemporary, and prophetic. Now I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 4. See, we're making great progress already. After the church age is over, let me tell you something about verse 22 there of chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. See, the church is still on earth. Later, you get in Revelation, it doesn't say to the churches. Why? Because the church is raptured and it's in heaven. Look in Revelation 4, 1. Here we have Revelation's picture of the rapture of the church. After this, I looked in, after this. Okay, what? After what? After this, the church age. Revelation 2 and 3. And behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. See, that's what Christ is going to say. Come up, church. Come up hither. I call his bride home. And I will show thee things that must be what? Hereafter, after the church age is over. This is a pre-trib, pre-millennial view. By the way, if you ever read or study anything on Revelation, you need to read after somebody that believes in the pre-tribulation and the premillennial view of Revelation. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven that sat on the throne. And he that sat looked upon like jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, upon which seats I saw 24 elders. If you study that out, most Bible conservatives believe that is a picture of the church in heaven. Clothed in white raiment, they had gone through the judgment seat of Christ, and they had on their heads the crowns of gold. So here you see, back to our outline, the raptured church in heaven. In Revelation 4 and 5, you see the church worshiping in heaven around the throne of God. And you also at this time in heaven, or right after the rapture, you'll have what's called the judgment seat of Christ, where God, Christ, will judge his church based on gain or loss of reward, not salvation. Okay? And so the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb happen in heaven while tribulation, if you will, excuse me, all hell is broken loose on earth going on. So the judgment seat of Christ. And then you have the tribulation period beginning in chapter 6, going all the way through chapter 19. Go to chapter 6, if you will, with me. The church is in heaven, 4 and 5, and then you see the first seal opened up by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that in just a second here. But the tribulation period goes from chapter 6, verses 9, all the way to 19:10. And what you have in the tribulation, and I'm going to go into detail, you have 21 judgments. They come upon Christ rejectors. They come upon Israel that rejected the Messiah. They become upon the earth to purge the earth for the millennial kingdom. Okay? 21 judgments. You have the seal judgments beginning in chapter 6. You have the trumpet judgments in chapter 8 and 9. You have the bowl judgments, or the vial judgments, some call it, in chapter 16. 21 judgments that get more frequent and more severe in the tribulation period. These are not for us. Even though we in the church age see birth pains, a foreshadowing of these judgments and their fulfillment, but we're not going to see. If you want to see what we're going to see, it's in Matthew 24, 1 through 8. We're going to see what the Bible calls birth pains. And we're seeing those right now. We're seeing move toward a global society. We're seeing a movement toward socialism. We're seeing viruses and tornadoes and things like that, and elements, you know. Don't listen to your newscasters. A hurricane and a tornado is not caused by global warming. It's not caused by man. It is God who controls the weather, amen? And he takes these things where he wants to take them for his purposes. Man will not destroy the earth. God will do that in 2 Peter. This present heavens and earth will be destroyed. Then you'll have a new heavens and earth. So don't listen to these quacks, man. You know, you can't watch the Weather Channel no more because that's all on the Weather Channel, you know. And I better calm down. I'm getting excited here. But these 21 judgments get more frequent and more severe, just like the birth pains we see in Matthew 24. And we're going to see more and more, okay? That's, you know, I agree with David Jeremiah, or he agrees with me, however you want to say it. So things ain't going to get no better, okay? Okay, then you look in Revelation 6. Let me tell you how the tribulation opens up. What, y'all ever heard preachers refer to the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Well, it's right here in verse 6. And I saw the Lamb, opened one of the seals. See, the church is in heaven. The first seal, it is Christ who opens these seven seals. And out of these come the seven trumpet judgments, and out of those come the seven bowl judgments. See, it's not God himself is bringing these judgments, okay? And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder and of the four beasts saying, come and see. And by the way, these are correlated with the book of Book of Matthew also in chapter 24. And behold, a white horse. Now, this is not Christ. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. The crown given to him is not the crown Christ is going to wear. This is a Stephanos crown, not a diadem crown like Christ wears. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering the conquered. This is none other than the Antichrist coming on the scene when the first seal is opened, okay? And he goes forth to conquer, okay? Christ coming on a white horse doesn't happen till Revelation 19, okay? And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, come and see. What is that language? You ever watch the Christmas Carol? What's the name of that? Who's that guy, Dickinson, that had the, where do you think they got come and see from, right? They got it right here. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, come and see. And when he went out with another horse that was red, it was given to him and that sat upon to take peace from the earth. This is war. War breaks out, right, when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Power was given to him that sat upon the earth to take peace from the earth, and that everyone should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. You see, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to come, the church will be taken out. He's going to come on the scene and say, well, I'm glad they're gone. Now we can get on with our agenda. I've got all the answers, right? And he begins to use war to take power. Not like it's going to be in the second half of the tribulation. And then it says in verse 4, and there went out another horse. I read that. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, now in chapter 6 we see a summary of the whole tribulation, okay? Now he says here in verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. Black horse speaks of death. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. You ever heard preachers talk about that during the tribulation there's going to be a mark and that you're not going to be able to buy or sell? That's right here in Revelation, you know, balances, you know. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and I see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. See, oil has always played a big part in prophecy, and it's playing it today. And you can see how Biden shut down the pipelines and is going to shut down a second pipeline, but yet he left the pipelines to Russia open, right? And so oil is going to play a big factor in wartime in the end. And so he opened up a fourth seal, verse 7, and I heard a fourth beast come to see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and him that sat on him was death. So you got war, famine, and death, right? And hell followed with him. And power was given unto him that one-fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Now, let me stop right here. There are people who do not believe like we do. They believe that the things in Revelation took place in the first century. But I want to ask you a question here. It don't take no common sense to find it here. Have you ever seen a time when one-fourth of the earth was killed? One-fourth of the people, right? This did not happen in the first century. This is going to happen when the revelation breaks out, okay? So the tribulation starts after the rapture. You don't have to be a scholar to find that out. 4 and 5, the church is taken out around heaven. 6, the tribulation breaks out. Christ begins to open up the seven seals. And that's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And Billy Graham wrote a book about, I can't remember the book. It was something about the approaching hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And then you have in chapter 7, go with me to chapter 7. We're going to move quickly. You have what is called the sealing of the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, 144,000 Jewish evangelists who are going to go out and proclaim the gospel. The church is taken out. God is never without a witness, right? And so these 144,000, they are not Jehovah's Witnesses. These are Jews, right? And you read chapter 7, you can about qualify them right there. And all the martyred saints are in heaven in chapter 7. So all those that begin to be killed in the tribulation are around the throne of God. And then after that, you have two witnesses. That's another group that's going to witness during the tribulation. And that's in chapter 11. I'm one of those that thinks it's Moses and Elijah. You know, others think it's Enoch. Others think it's Joshua. Whatever you agree, there's going to be two witnesses in chapter 11 that are going to be killed in the streets of Jerusalem. The Antichrist will kill them. They'll be there 3.5 days, I believe it is. And they're going to be miraculously resurrected. They're going to have CNN there, you know. They're going to have MSNBC. And Fox News will even be there. Because by that time comes, I don't say how CNN and MSNBC are still in business, you know. But they'll be there broadcasting it. And then they're going to rise up. Hallelujah time, amen. And God's going to take them back up to heaven. And that happens about the midpoint of the tribulation based upon Revelation 24:15. So right here in Revelation chapter 11, we're at about the midpoint of the tribulation. And then in chapter 12, there's going to be war in heaven the last 3.5 years. You remember the dragon, that's Satan. You remember the woman, that's Israel. And you remember the man-child, that's the Messiah. And so there's going to be war in heaven. And Satan's going to be finally cast out of heaven. Okay? That's going to infuriate him and the Antichrist. And that's when there's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. Great tribulation that's never been known before to man. Okay? So he's cast down the earth. Then, you know, you're going to see a terrible time on earth when Satan actually comes down here. You know, he's got his demons right now. But in chapter 14, we're going quickly. In chapter 14, it mentions the 144,000 again. By the way, back in chapter 7, God seals the 144,000. They cannot be killed or injured by the Antichrist. But when God is through with them in Revelation 14, he sees them in heaven. God calls them home. Now, I like Tim LaHaye and I like the Left Behind series, but they teach that believers are sealed. No, it's the 144,000 are sealed, okay, until God gets through with them. And, you know, we can make the concept for us today. You're not going to heaven until God gets through with you, right? And I heard about an old preacher, John MacArthur's grandfather. Before he died, they asked him, one more thing you want to do, Granddaddy? He said, I want to preach one more sermon. And he happened to have a sermon on heaven that he had never preached. Fire in his bones, you know. So at John MacArthur's grandfather's funeral, they read his notes, so he preached his own funeral service, you know, right there. Boy, that'd make a preacher quiver, right? And by the way, I didn't do this because John MacArthur did it. I've already got a sermon on heaven in Daryl Allen's vault ready to be on display at my visitation, you know? And that was before I even knew that. So when y'all walk by, read the sermon, okay? Casket's going to be closed so you can't see me, but read the sermon. And then in Revelation 17 and 18, you have the final destruction of political and commercial religious Babylon. This present world system, this present political system, commercial system, is going to be destroyed. And then also the religious harlot, the one world government and the one world church are going to be destroyed. And that's where we're headed to, okay? That's in Revelation 17 and 18. Y'all know Jesus wins, right? You win, right? And then in the second coming of Jesus, you see in Revelation 19, 11 through 21, the rapture takes place in Revelation 4, okay? It's a picture of it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, John chapter 14, verse 3. 7 years of tribulation after that, and then you have the actual coming of Christ when he comes back and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, and he conquers at Armageddon. All the nations of the world are gathered there at Armageddon, the plain of Megiddo. I think it was, who was it? John, Napoleon said it was the greatest spot to have a battle, didn't he? Something like that, yeah. And I'm glad my historian is back with me. But we missed you, man. And so that's where the battle is going to be fought. And I won't go into particulars of it. That's when China comes in and crosses the Euphrates. And that's when all nations of the world are gathered there to do battle, they think, with the Antichrist. But Christ comes, speaks the word, they dissolve where they stand, right? And by the way, Russia is going to be destroyed right before the mid part of the tribulation. John may disagree with me, but this is where I put Ezekiel's war. Right before the mid, you read about that in Ezekiel 37, 38, 39, something like that. So then you have the second coming of Jesus. He's going to set up his millennial kingdom. By the way, before that, in Revelation chapter 19, let's go there. Revelation 19. We see the church in heaven and all the saints in heaven rejoicing because the marriage supper of the Lamb has come. Look in Revelation 19, and these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord Jesus, Lord our God. See, if you have trouble saying those words in service, you ain't going to have no trouble saying them then, okay? And he says, for the true and righteous are his judgments. He hath judged the great whore. That's the harlot church. That's the church, the false church after the church is raptured. I'm just using Bible language here, right? Which did corrupt the earth and her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. They're going to kill many. By the way, let me go ahead and let you cat out of the bag. It's not popular. I see preachers that preach it and then they get on them and then they backtrack. But I believe the great whore is none other than the Catholic Church. And I believe the Pope is possibly going to be the false prophet. Okay? I forgot to mention back in Revelation 13, you have two beasts. You have the first beast and the second beast. And the first beast is the Antichrist. Second beast is the false prophet. It's going to be head of the harlot church. Okay? And you see that in Revelation 13. So you have this great battle. Christ conquers. That's what Zechariah, by the way, Zechariah also speaks of it, the great Armageddon. And then Christ is going to set up a 1,000-year reign that his prophets had prophesied for Israel. And I made a mention of that this morning with the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. God will give Israel. God is not through with Israel. The church is not the new Israel. Some Presbyterians teach that. Well, not some, but most of them. And also the Reformed Church teaches that. No, God is not through with Israel. God has a plan for both people, and he will bring them back into the land that he has promised them, but they forfeited for a time because of their disobedience. And so it's at this time in Revelation 19 that the Antichrist and false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. Look in chapter 19. Well, look at verse 17 through 21, if you will. Chapter 19, 17 through 21. This is the Armageddon. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, come gather yourselves together for the great supper of the great God. You know, all the people that are going to be killed at Armageddon. Now, John, am I correct in understanding that there's a great stream of vulture birds that come across there near Jerusalem, and they're coming and they migrate every year? Have you ever heard that? Well, you learned it tonight, okay? So they come, and God has already had them prepared for to feed on the flesh of those that are conquered. Verse 18, that they may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. How foolish, right? And against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet, the one that has the one world government, the one that has the one world church, harlot church, that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Now, when does the mark of the beast take place? It's in Revelation, right? It's in the tribulation period. It's not in the church age. What we have, is pictures or shadows of what, see how they're controlling people right now, right? But the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. The vaccine is not the mark of the beast. It is not a tribulation mark. The tribulation mark is going to be on your forehand and on your forehead, right? And so whatever form that takes, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you got the mark of the beast. That's in the tribulation period. And then if you don't take it, you'll be martyred, right? But the Bible tells me in Revelation that believers that are get saved after the rapture will not take the mark, okay? And they're not like Republicans who compromise all the time, right? But then it says, and it goes on talking about this great war, okay? Now, so after that, Christ sets up his millennial reign. You read about that in Revelation 20, 1 through 11, 1 through 10. It's at the millennial reign of Christ after the tribulation that a couple of people, groups of people are resurrected. The martyred tribulation saints, those that were killed in the tribulation, they will be raised. The living saints who got saved who are not martyred will be raised. And Israel will be resurrected to enter the millennium, Revelation 4 through 6. The Bible tells me in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, is when the Old Testament saints are resurrected, okay? Remember, there's two resurrections. The second resurrection is for the wicked to stand at the great white throne. The first resurrection deals with Christ, the selected Old Testament saints that came out of the grave, proving to everybody that the church will come out. And then you have the church at the rapture. Then you have tribulation saints. And then you have those that are martyred during the tribulation period. All of these included in the first resurrection, okay, that Revelation chapter 20 speaks about. So Satan's bound for 1,000 years during the millennial reign, and you're going to have heaven on earth. I mean, it's going to be back like it was in the garden, you know. I mean, it's going to be a great time. Those of you who I hope everybody here will not, anybody here will be in that, we'll all be in the millennium. And I think of the farmers we got in our church. They love to grow things, Marcus, Gene, and your things look good and green, you know, all swiveled up and yellow like I got. But during the millennium, man, the crops are going to be enormous. You know, everything's going to flourish, right? And so Satan is bound. And again, people that believe all this has happened in the first century, Satan is not bound. You can see him on the news, right? But after the millennial reign is over, he's going to be loosed. In Revelation 20, verse 7 through 10, and multitudes will still follow him. Even though they had heaven on earth for 1,000 years, they're still going to follow Satan. Why? Man's problem is not his environment. Man's problem is his sin, right? Look in Revelation chapter 20, 7 through 10. And I want you to especially note verse 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Now, this is not Ezekiel's war here. This is yet another thing when they still follow Satan. And when they went up in the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints, and that's not the church, saint, you'll not see from Revelation 6 on, you'll not see the word church. And the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now listen to this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. That's Gehenna. And brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So ultimate destination of Satan, he's cast into the lake of fire. False prophet and the harlot and the Antichrist have been there 1,000 years. Okay? There's no such thing as annihilation, right? They've been there for 1,000 years. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, so Satan's loosed, multitudes follow him, and they're destroyed. And then you have the great white throne judgment for the wicked in Revelation 20, verse 11. They're there because they're Christ rejectors. They're there, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. But God opens the books. They're not in the book of life because they're not saved. They wouldn't be at that judgment if they were saved. And then he opens up the books that talk about their works. And they will have degrees of punishment in eternal hell forever and forever, right? And that's where they're going to wind up. 1,007 years. If it happens right now, the rapture, this will be 1,007 years in the future. And we're going to be firsthand, get to see it all take place, you know? And then after that, you have the eternal state and the new heavens and the new earth, Revelation 21 and 22. You see, our destiny, if I die right now, I go into the third heaven, into the presence of the Lord, what Paul called paradise. And we'll be there. And then when Christ will come back, you know, and Christ will come in the resurrection, we'll get our glory. I'm just going to say it for me, okay? I'll get my glorified body. I'll be doing whatever God wants me to do in the tribulation period. And then we're going to enter the millennium, right? We'll be doing again whatever he wants us to do, right? And then ultimately, we'll be standing in what's called the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21 and 22, forever and forever, okay? And the New Earth. I won't get into the details of that. But that is a jet tour through the book of Revelation. So now all of you are experts, right, on the book of Revelation. So if anybody ever says anything to you about Revelation, say, my pastor said something here. Let me find it here. Yeah, there it is right there, right? Okay, I mean, you see, that's why I don't get too excited, because I know what's going to happen, right? We win, right? I should have called this "We Win," right? We're not like the Bulldogs. We do win, right? We win, right? And by the way, Georgia's number 3. They play Michigan in the playoffs. But, okay, I hope that helped you, right? Did that confuse you more or help you? Okay. All right, let's dismiss. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And we've been talking on prophecy on Wednesday night some before I got into this other one about how to interpret and study the Bible. So I thought I would kind of encapsulate it all and bring it to a point of culmination here, and we can get a general view from Revelation about what's going to happen. And Father, we just pray for safety. We pray for safety for the Smith and the Thornton family as they travel. We pray, Father, that as Patricia goes to the doctor, Lord, that she'll get a good report from the heart doctor. And we pray for Charles. We thank you for his feeling better. We pray for Miss Margene as she awaits to go to another doctor before she goes to her vascular surgeon. We pray for all those on our prayer list. I might be forgetting some right now, but we just lift them up. We pray for Herbert Hart as he gets the evaluations and consultations that he needs, and they make decisions about what they're going to do about his prostate. And so, Lord, we lift all these up to you, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.